Gonna be gone. Better enjoy it while you can. A few hot dogs out on the man-made fire in the backyard. Coolness of night. Great time of year. But it goes too fast. I can tell you that, it goes too fast. You get a lot accomplished just sitting around a campfire, you know it? Talk about things and pressures of the world and pray through things. I like the mornings where there's just a little bit of fog, you know, and you can hear some birds chirping, and that's about it. It's a little too early for the dogs to even start barking, and that's nice as well. They get going about 7 in our neighborhood when the people wake up and let the dogs out. I just think there's something precious about spending time with the Lord. And you know, you got to have it. With all the things going on in the world, there's always been things going on in the world that haven't been good. So that can't be a reason for not spending time with the Lord. It's going to have to be something that you make a priority in your life. You've got to want it. And I find out, you know what most people do? My dad used to tell me this all the time. They do what they want to do. I mean, what we really want to do, that's what we do. We put a priority on what we really want to do. And if we really want to spend time with the Lord, there's not anyone going to take that away from us. So the chief exhortation tonight is spend time with the Lord. You're going to find out that the place of victory in your life is in Jesus Christ. I shared this with my Sunday school class. I mentioned it many times from the pulpit, but if you'll look up here, you'll see circle. It's called in something. This is a sphere. You're either in this circle or you're in this other circle. So we have two circles being made here. One is in Christ and the other is out. Christ. One is light and the other is darkness. Now, if we want to have growing and good relationships, we've got to realize that we're in Christ. Those are the strongest relationships. People who are in Christ and they look to Christ, they grow in their relationships together. It's awful hard to break a threefold cord. Two people and Jesus, that's the three. And as you wrap your lives around one another, it's awful hard to break that cord. Our triumphs aren't in our best efforts. They are in Christ. Our acceptance before God isn't perfect practice, because we've all failed there. Our acceptance before God is position. In Christ is the position. We are starting up the basketball league again. By the way, Jen, I want to get Casey on my team, okay? Just remind me of that when we're through, okay? So I wanted to, if you saw my exhortation today, anybody see my exhortation today? Just a few of you. And I was just honest with you that I really didn't want to do it anymore. You don't have to tell Casey this part, Jim. I didn't want to do it anymore because I was a little discouraged. I'd worked with this young man for quite a long time, 3 years, on and off, not every day. I mean, sometimes I only saw him once every 6 months. You know what I mean? His name's Eric. And to earn his basketball shoes or whatever, you know, I try to help these guys along the way. I had him trimming some trees at my house. Then we went to Five Guys and ate a hamburger, you know, and went to Wegmans and ate a meal. Over a couple day period, you know, just cleaning up some brush and stuff like that. I really could have done it myself, you know. But I thought, you know, an opportunity to mentor this guy, spend some time with him, and which I did. Well, I mean, his dad is in prison in Philadelphia for selling drugs. And that happened when he was a very young age. So most of his life, he's known of his father as being in prison in Philadelphia. How many think that's a good thing? That's not a good thing. So I had a heart-to-heart conversation with him. You like that term, Bonnie, heart-to-heart? Had a heart-to-heart conversation with him. I said, hey, Eric, listen, man. You don't want to go down this route. You don't have to follow the same pattern. You're not in Philadelphia. You're not around the gangs. You're living here with your mom now. You're separated from that. But just removing your place from a situation doesn't mean it's removed from your heart. And I said, if you're not careful, you're going to do what you've seen. By the way, we do often do what we see others do, right? Apprenticeship, discipleship is basically, what am I doing? And you do the same thing. You know, not letter of the law, but that's discipleship. You know, living example. So anyways, you don't have to follow this pattern. You got a new set of friends. I'm going to be your friend. Now be careful when you say something, okay? I'm going to be your friend no matter what you do. Let that sink in into silence for a while. I'm going to be your friend no matter what you do. Now, if you tell somebody that, that's going to be tested, I promise you. So, I'm still going to be his friend, though he did some very wicked stuff. Yes or no? Well, so what I wrote on my exhortation little blog today was, it's been determined that this is not just a bad individual, but a very bad individual with regard to the last couple years of growing drug trafficking in the city. And he got arrested. He's in prison right now down in the county. So that got me a bit discouraged, and I thought to myself, hey, why am I even wasting my time? You ever felt that way? You know, it's like I'm sowing in this field, not getting a lot of fruit from it. I said in the over 100 guys in the league, two of them trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, a number of them are already saved. Although when we're playing the games, you can't always tell that. How many know when you're in sports, you can't always tell who the Christians are? His name is Eric, and I just want to start tonight in praying for Eric, okay? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we know that we need to depend upon your Son for life and ministry to others. And whereas many would give up on an individual, I understand that too. I understand that part of it. I pray for grace to continue to minister, even when it appears as though your word is not being listened to. May this young man at 22 years of age now, with a long-term prison coming, meet you there and have his heart changed to be saved and to live his life for your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Always triumph in Christ. That's our study tonight. Follow along on the papers here if you will, please. In God's almighty wisdom and providence, he will allow us to face some deep crises. Doors are barred and the way is closed before us. When our strength is small and our resources are insufficient, and even our friends seem to have forgotten us. Others, not knowing what particular deep water we're going through, start to criticize our decisions. In times like these, we can rest assured that God is still working His purposes. Somebody say amen there. Amen. His purpose is that we might learn the wonderful reality of His unfailing presence. Because He is with us and will never forsake us, we can be sure that He is still working out His plan and purpose for our lives. He chooses the place and makes provision for whatever service He has assigned to us. Now that's a very important thing right there. God wants us to be faithful where we are right now. Faithfulness isn't, boy, when the situation changes, you know, and this. No, God wants us to be faithful with the trials and tests He's allowed in our life right now. And we know through some of them, it's only the grace of God that helped us pass the test. I'm sure you've experienced that. I only made it through that by the grace of God. Anybody give a witness to that tonight? Amen. Follow along again, please. God desires that we know His companionship. Are you lacking a really, really close friend? Well, Jesus Christ will be that friend. God desires that we know His companionship, a fellowship with the Lord Jesus that creates in us the utmost of confidence in Him and the consequent carefreeness of spirit. On September 22, 1967, Dr. Raymond Edmond, then retired president of Wheaton College, which is where my mother-in-law graduated from, and my Greek professor graduated from years ago, was preaching at Wheaton's chapel when he suddenly collapsed and died in the pulpit. Amazingly, the sermon was entitled, In the Presence of the King. And here are some of the things that he wrote. I deeply appreciated the overshadowing of God's hand in times of debilitating illness. My life had been brought into the valley of the shadow of death, but His mercies had not failed. His compassions had been new each morning. True, my bodily strength had been greatly weakened by prolonged and painful disease, but I looked forward to the time of returning to Ecuador when the new school term to begin. Surely a few months in a vigorous northern climate would restore normal health and provide a full reservoir of strength. Dr. Edmond was studying the Word. As he was studying the Word, he came across this passage and its power enlivened him. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now I want you to take your pen out, paper, on your paper here, and I want you to circle the words, in Christ. Because that's where you win. In Christ. Put a little line up on top of that and put victory. My victory. In Christ is our place of victory. Okay? So 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph where? In Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You know what? That's not savior there, that's savor. What's a savor? It's an aroma. In other words, the character of Christ is attractive. It smells good to the soul. One spirit breathing in the other spirit, that's Christ. When we partake of that life, we're both enjoying it. And that's called fellowship. Now, if you're enjoying the Lord tonight, you're fellowshipping with me because I'm enjoying the Lord. I'm finding out where my place of victory is. My place of victory is not in my best efforts. My place of victory is Jesus Christ. And if we get off of that, we're going to have a lot of trouble in life. We're going to try to line this up. We're going to try to arrange that. We're going to try to make this happen. We're going to try to make that happen instead of resting in the Lord working things out in our life. I like rest, but it's a lot of work. Let me say that again. I like rest, but it's a lot of work. Calm yourself down. You ever said that to a kid? Get a grip. It's a lot of work to have yourself calmed down when everyone else is flying off the handle in fear, in trepidation, intimidation. And you just have a carefreeness in your spirit. That's called God. When you're having individual troubles, remember, step back and look at the big picture. You got just one tree of trouble. Step back and look at the forest and say, God's sovereign over every aspect of my life and all that I'm involved in, all my past, today, and all the future, and I'm going to rest in His care. I wouldn't want to rest anywhere else. It's in Christ where we want to rest. And in Christ, we've already won. That's good news. This aroma, this attitude of spirit that permeates from our being. Well, have you ever had anything permeate from someone's being that you didn't care? You were hoping a little deodorant would be nice? My mom used to say something. We play ball, you know, and hot sun just cooking down there, and come in, take them shoes off. She's like, whoo, is somebody dying here? You know what I mean? Add four boys. You just come in there with, you know, whoo, spray the whole place down. Anybody ever seen those commercials? They got them on now. It's so bad in there. It's a guy's dorm room. You know, the sock's about 20 feet big, you know, taking up the whole room because it smells so bad. Yeah, we know what that's like. That's permeating a place. I've been in a few places the last couple of months. The fear was so thick you could cut it with a knife. That's an aroma. That's an aura that people are putting off. And if you come in their presence and you put off a carelessness because you're underneath the care of God, they're going to take notice of it. And you don't even have to say a word. It's your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And what is He doing? He is setting off the aroma of Jesus Christ. That's attractive. Because Christ is the most beautiful person that's ever lived. And He wants us to be just like Him. Wonderful. So, think about that. He wrote this, always causes us to triumph. Where again? In Christ. He said, that staggered me. Now, He's at the end of His ministry. His body's shutting down. He wants to go back to Ecuador for mission work. The semester's about to start. He gets up and preaches this sermon, and guess what happens to him? He dies. Tim Sneeden's a friend of mine. He was the assistant pastor at our church in Wilmington. A little younger than I am. Was. Went to Bob Jones to study and got his degree. He'd already been a youth pastor for about 20 years. Thought he would get his degree and want to pastor a church himself. Went to school, did just right through it. Brilliant individual. Went through that, went through his master's, went through his doctorate. I mean, I'm jealous of these guys, you know. classes go through me. I don't go through them. But anyways, he gets in California and he's pastoring for 3 or 4 years. And he turns 50, and this was 4 years ago. And on one of his sermons, this is one of the kindest people I've ever met. Just been married a couple years. I think he got married at 40. And fine lady. She was actually a Korean lady who had her doctorate in physics and was teaching physics at a swanky university there in California. So no dummy either, right? She loved the Lord and she had a testimony for the Lord. She said, I'll just be, you know, single if that's what God wants me to be. I'm just going to serve. And he said the same thing. They met one another. Yeah, you know. Got married. He's 4 years into the pastorate. He's preaching this message and he dies while he's preaching. Fifty years of age. Now, I don't understand it. I don't understand why God would let that happen. I don't understand that one of the chief expositors and motivator of men was Jowett. And Jowett died at 27 years of age. All that prep, school, college, seminary, out on the field a couple years, dies. You just wonder. Jim Elliot, same thing, you know. But what these people do is they show us that aroma of Christ. And Jim Elliot said this as well. I'm not really asking the Lord for a long life. I'm just asking for one that's full of Him. I'm not asking for lengthy days on the earth. I'm just asking for the days that I have that they would be filled with Him. That's a good prayer, isn't it? And I said to Laurie recently, I thought I would die young. And she said, well, at 58, you failed on that one. <You're still young>. I mean, you think that's just a little funny, okay? All right. Come give me a hug here. You failed. I said, yeah, no kidding. I didn't say it was a goal of mine. I just But here he was, serving the Lord with all of his heart. And while he preached, two people pass away. An evangelist was getting prepared to the opening of the semester. In August, and at Ambassador Baptist College, graduated from the school, was an evangelist, and was coming back to hold a week of meetings. You know, when the schools open, like, you know, Bob Jones and other schools, Pensacola, whatever, they usually have a week of you know, revival meetings for the students. I don't know if you're aware of that. Set the tone, you know, for the semester. God focused first is the idea. And so he was prepared, this evangelist was prepared. And while he was cleaning out his garage, he died. Guy's not even 50 years old. So I don't understand it. I don't understand when those things happen. But I do know this. We do have an appointment. And what days that we do have, we want to live them for Jesus Christ. Every day ought to be precious to us. So back on our papers, always causes us to triumph. He's reading along, studying, and it's illuminated. This is what happens when a passage hits you. That's called illumination. It's not new doctrine. It's enlightened in your heart and mind, and it's got a hold of you now. This is when it begins to change you. The contrast, he says, between this verse and my life was complete. My way seemed impenetrably obscure. Seems small in comparison to what God's doing. You know, my ministry's starting to shrink. I'm getting older now. I can't do as much, and my body's shutting down. But I'm still looking forward to that next semester starting, you know. That's what he's saying. Possibly, he says, a door was closing before me. That's the door of opportunity. Physical strength was ebbing away so that my life itself might soon be gone. And it was. Then he cries out to God that my life might be a display of all the triumphant victories afforded me by Christ. Now that sounds like a good prayer. Just take it slow and think about it. Oh God, let our lives be a display of all the triumphant victories granted to us through Jesus Christ. Now, where has the Lord given me the victory? And the answer is everywhere. He's given me the victory even over death. Why? Because if I die, I'm absent from my body. Guess what? I'm present with the Lord, and I'm going to get a new body, a resurrected, purified body one day that can't die. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is about. And the concluding statements, 57 and 58, we'll just look at 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 on our papers here. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And where is the victory? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. My victory, my always causing me to win victory, is Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Now you notice something that I didn't say, do? I never said